Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Two very powerful praise and worship songs. So fitting for the message this morning. Man, it is good to see everyone. Everybody just look around. Look at all the children. Look, man, it's exciting. Does anybody feel the excitement in the air? Really, I do. I feel very excited about what's going on at Pauline Baptist. Hey, man, good to see you, dude. Dragon Ball Z, right on. All right, that's good. That's good. Amen. Well, happy fall, y'all. That's what they say anyway, right? Here in South Georgia, we know better than those little tricky moves. You know, so hopefully around January it'll get cool. But that's okay. Praise the Lord, right? The season's awesome. I'm looking forward to sharing with the deacons this morning. I'm looking forward to, you know, just the season at church. You know, not only in the community and our family and that sort of thing, but just looking forward to the fall and the fall festivals and Thanksgiving, and then Christmas comes around and all that. It's just a happy time, a joyous time for most folks, right? So we definitely want to pray for the folks that may be struggling through the whole fall and holiday seasons. So, amen. So we're going to be in Hebrews. We're going to continue in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 3, 1 through 6. And if you've missed a few Sundays, you can go on our website, PaulineBaptistChurch.org. Yeah, and you can listen to the messages as we are going through Hebrews. We're going to be studying Hebrews. And the way it's looking now, we're just going to go all the way through. I am really enjoying studying it, and I hope you're getting something from the messages. And so if you've missed a few Sundays, let me just recap real quickly. The Hebrew believers, you know, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, we're not really sure. But those Jewish believers, okay, they were really struggling with the gospel. They were struggling with Jesus and all this new message, and they were considering relapse and going back into Judaism. But the writer of Hebrews was really giving them a 1-2 punch. He was really trying to share with them the truth of the gospel. And it begins out kind of in chapter 1 where they're just struggling with that. And they were looking at angels, you know, really putting angels way up real high. So Hebrews was trying to get them to see that Jesus is higher than angels, is superior to angels. They struggled a couple before homecoming. We talked about how they struggled with Jesus' humanity, right? They remember that message that he was 100% man, was also 100% God, and they struggled that a little bit. And we'll see this morning that they're now kind of struggling with Moses. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And, you know, they have a history with Moses. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for your scriptures, Lord. It's living. Thank you, Father, for the ones that are here this morning and the ones that are traveling and vacationing and having a good time in life. And that's okay. Sometimes we need to do that, and it's okay. And I just pray for everyone's safety. I pray for the folks that are on our prayer list. Well, we just pause for a minute and hopefully we'll remind each other that we need to lift up those folks on our prayer list. They are folks that are in need physically and financially, emotionally. And Lord, we just lift them up right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that's on that prayer list. Father, your will be done in their life. Lord, thank you for a great homecoming. And Brother Earl and Miss Betty, and we continue to lift them up. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together in your house, studying and worshiping you. Father, help me teach this as you put it on my heart. Lord, help me deliver the message. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, and I'll read it. It says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. In verse 6, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. And everybody said amen. Amen. We'll start out with who was your hero. Everyone from time to time needs a hero. We need someone that we can look up to emulate. Would y'all agree? A role model. I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I had quite a few little heroes and people that impacted my life, like the old FFA advisor, anybody I'm talking about? And those kind of folks. But I had two men that was a real big hero for me. Now, y'all don't laugh at me now, okay? But Roger Staubach and Neil Armstrong. Anybody old enough to remember those guys? I mean, Roger Staubach, you know, graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy, won the Heisman Trophy, went on to play for the greatest team that's ever been in professional football, the Dallas Cowboys. Sorry. And, you know, I just thought he was the coolest guy, man. And first man to win a Heisman Trophy and a Super Bowl. There's been several since then. But, man, when I was a little kid, you know, and I thought it was cool. It sounds my arrogant, but when I was a little kid and I could see my name on TV, you know, Dallas, that's kind of cool, you know. But Dallas Cowboys and Roger Staubach, number 12. Man, many a times in the front yard throwing that football to my brother who couldn't catch a cold. But if he's listening, ha. Anyway, but I was number 12, boy. I was number 12, Roger Staubach. Loved it. You know, all through the 70s, you know. I grew up in the late 60s and 70s. And then there was Neil Armstrong. Everybody remember him? First man landed on the moon. I think they're getting ready to make a movie about him. And I was 6 years old watching that man and all those other guys climb up on top of a big, giant stick of dynamite. I thought, wow, that's brave. That's a brave man right there, you know. And then stepping off on the moon, I just thought that was really awesome, you know. So everyone needs a hero from time to time. I thought I'd share that with you. The national hero of the Jews was Moses. And if you have your sermon notes, if you don't have a sermon note, please let Glenn know and he can grab one for you. Everybody have a sermon notes? Is in your bulletin? Okay. So the national hero of the Jews was Moses. And he was considered the greatest hero for good reason, right? I mean, the Lord miraculously kept him alive as a baby and personally spoke to him through the burning bush. Moses used his staff to perform all kinds of miracles and persuading Pharaoh to let his people go. Moses performed more miracles than anyone else in the Old Testament. Even on Mount Sinai, God trusted him with the Ten Commandments and the plans for building the tabernacle. I mean, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So we look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. If you look up that word meek in the Hebrew, we've studied this before, but it means to be humble. That word meekness means humble. And I guess it took God 40 years of Moses out there in the wilderness and, you know, tending sheep and all that to get to the place where Moses was humble. So if you're looking for a hero, Moses definitely could be one of those heroes for us. But I'm here this morning, just like the writers, whoever wrote Hebrews, I'm here this morning to tell you that there is one who is greater than Moses. He's the Son of the living God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, our risen Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And that's what Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 is really sort of all about. It's about showing these guys, right, these Jewish believers, that Jesus is a hero greater than Moses. So let's get into it. There's three basic actions in making Jesus our hero. So we're going to look at these three actions. One is we need to focus on Jesus. Number two, we need to trust in Jesus. And number three, hold on to Jesus. So we need to focus on Him, we need to trust Him, and then we need to hold on to Jesus. And this is really what breaking down chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 is all about. So let's focus, no pun intended, on Jesus, on number 1, point 1. And allow me to read it again, Hebrews 3, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, holy brothers. So we know that they're talking to believers who share in the heavenly calling. So they know that they're talking to these new Christian believers. It says, Jesus the apostle. How many of you guys knew that Jesus was an apostle? He was. He is. Never really think about that, but it's right here, very clear. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, just as Moses was also faithful in God's house. All right, so when it says that word consider, okay, if you look up that word and consider in the Greek here, because the Hebrews, New Testament written in Greek, right? That means to examine carefully. So here the Hebrew writers is telling us we need to examine Jesus carefully. And this examination should begin by considering that Jesus is superior to Moses because, everybody say because He is our apostle and our high priest. Jesus was faithful to God who appointed Him, just as Moses was faithful to God's calling. All right? So now, we've studied this many times too. The word apostle means one sent forth with a message. So the word apostle means one sent forth with a message. Now, Jesus repeatedly describes Himself many, many times as being sent by the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Amen? This is Jesus telling us. More than 20 times in the gospel, Jesus describes Himself as being sent by the Father. He had a mission. The Father sent Him. John chapter 5, verse 24. If you're writing it down, John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come unto judgment, but has passed from death to life. He does not come into judgment. He does not come into judgment. Are y'all glad that we ultimately will not come into judgment? Amen. We've already been judged and found guilty. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Although Moses was never really called an apostle, okay, in the purest sense of the word, he definitely was, because he was one sent with a message from God. Now, Jesus was called our apostle and our high priest. So listen closely to this right here. An apostle, okay, right? As an apostle, Jesus represents God to us. As high priest, Jesus represents us to God. Really think about that. That's powerful to me. As an apostle, Jesus represents God to us. And as high priest, he represents us to God. Now, a high priest is a mediator. A high priest is a mediator. A close analogy is like a defense attorney, which their job is to intercede and represent a client before a judge. Everybody got it? So if you had a charge against you, maybe it was a bogus charge against you that was very serious, some serious crime, and you ended up in court, what kind of attorney would you like to have? I want the best one I can get, the best one I can buy, right? I want one that has never lost a case, wouldn't you? Amen. You see, Jesus is our high priest, or he's our defense attorney. And he never loses a case. Never loses a case. When we are found guilty, which we are, the Bible says we're all sinners, right? And falling short of the glory of God. When we are found guilty before God, Jesus says, Father, the sentence has already been served. Jesus says, I served it on the cross. I served it on Calvary. This is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Then God says, the God the Father says, case dismissed. Enter in. We're his children. He's our Father. Jesus is our brother and our Savior and our King and our Lord. And he took our place on Calvary. Father, the sentence has already been served. That is powerful to me. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 says, God, this is our memory verse for this week. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, Jesus wants to be your defense attorney. He wants to be your high priest. Even the great, powerful Moses cannot plead your case before God. You see, when we get to that point and we feel guilty of our sin, and we may even feel like that God doesn't even love us anymore. God can't use me anymore. We need to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what he has already done in your life, in our life. He's already paid the price for all your sins, past, present, and future. He's already shed the blood that ran down that old rugged cross that's worthy to cleanse us from our sins. Remember, Jesus is your high priest, and he is faithful. He has never lost a case. And He will never lose you. You see, if Jesus is our hero, you can also, number two, trust in Jesus. You can trust in Him. This is where we're going to talk about Hebrews chapter 3, verse kind of like 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. Jesus deserves more glory than Moses. This is what the writer of Hebrews was trying to tell these people. Jesus deserves more glory than Moses. Just as a builder of a house deserves more glory than the house. Amen? It says, no matter how spectacular a building might be, the builder deserves more glory than the building itself. Hebrews 3 and 4 and 4 says, every house has a builder, but God is the builder of everything. Amen? Everything. Now notice right there between verse 3 and verse 4. It talks about Jesus, the builder of, in that verse. And then it goes into 4 and talks about God being the builder. Why does it do that? It's the cause of the Holy Trinity, right guys? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all in this. They're all doing their calling and their ministry. They're all one. Jesus said in John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. In the Bible, the word house is used in two basic ways. It's talking about it here in Hebrews, God's house. It can refer to a building or a dwelling place or a household or a nation like it is in this part. The phrase house in this verse of Israel is used more than 140 times in the New Testament. Think about that. In the Old Testament, I'm sorry. Moses played an important role in building the house of God. Moses' name is mentioned over 700 times in the Old Testament. And more than 80 times in the New Testament. That's a lot, isn't it? You can imagine now why Moses was the superhero. He was faithful in God's house. This is Israel. It's talking about Israel. And Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant. As a servant. Now we're trying to get all this correct and get all this right. For all his greatness and all his faithfulness, Moses was just a faithful servant. Now look at what it says. In all God's house. That means he was definitely part of the house of Israel. But Jesus, look at the scripture, Jesus is faithful over God's house. Everybody got that? Jesus is over and in charge of God's house. Jesus fulfilled everything taught in the law and the tabernacle. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. He said, it is finished. John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What was finished? He said, it is finished. What is finished? I'll tell you what was finished. God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation was finished. Because of Christ's death on the cross, we don't have to do anything anymore to earn our salvation. It is finished. It is complete. Jesus did it all on the cross. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace? It's a great book. It was done on the cross. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift. Everybody say free gift. Free gift. One more time. Free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please listen to this. You don't work for a gift. You don't pay for a gift. You simply accept it. You accept God's free gift of salvation. So, to make Jesus your hero, your avenger, your superhero, we need to focus on Jesus. We need to trust Jesus and what he's already done at the cross and death, burial, and resurrection. And the third thing is we need to hold on to Jesus. We need to hold on. So let's look at the sixth verse here in this chapter 3. How can you know if you're really a part of God's house or his family? Same thing. How can you really know? Now, the Bible says only God knows a man's heart, right? But there's fruit that we bear. And through my studies in this, I found that there are two basic reasons, two basic ways to really know if we are part of God's house or his family. Here's the two basic ways. We'll hold on to our confidence in Christ. And we will persevere. We will hold on to our confidence in Christ. And we will persevere. Now, hear me on this. This does not mean we hold on until the end and we'll be saved. That's not what it's saying here. We cannot keep ourselves saved any more than we can save ourselves. Y'all hear me? In this scripture, it talks about holding on to our confidence in Christ means we continue following his teachings as proof that we really are saved. Some people, and I've seen it, especially in the counseling and drug and alcohol counseling ministry and counseling, some people will try out God. They'll try God. I'm going to try out this God thing. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to try to start becoming religious. And I'm going to try religion a little bit. And they may even come in, maybe join a choir, and they may, you know, get involved a little bit, and then pretty soon you don't see them anymore. They're gone. You know, they don't come back to church for 2 or 3 more years. And usually they'll blame somebody, like, you know, they weren't nice to me, or they didn't treat me right, or they didn't, you know. I've seen people try Jesus, go to the altar and cry and come back up and everything. And then 6 months later, they're back drinking, drugging, doing crazy stuff, robbing banks. And I've seen all kind of stuff like that. Now, it's not for me to judge a man's heart at all. I'm not judging whether a person's saved or not saved. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says. People will struggle, but they'll keep coming back. You know, you if you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you. You're right? You'll give up those ways. Right, guys? You may struggle a little bit here and there. That's life. But you'll end up where you don't go back over there anymore. You don't even want to go back over there anymore. Everybody hear me? You don't want to do that no more. You may struggle. We all going to struggle the rest of our life. We're not perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But the Word of God's telling us here that we will keep our... Oh, what about the guy who says he's a Christian one day and he denies Christ and goes to here and becomes a blah, blah, blah? No. If you're truly born again and you're adopted into the family of God, you're not going to do that. The real test is whether or not we are true believers, become true Christians, persevere. John writes about some who claim to be true believers, but they were not of us. Now listen, this is scripture. This is not Dallas. 1 John 2:19, John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. There it is, right? This is an old saying. I didn't come up with this. I found this in my studies. This is an old saying. It's the first time I've seen it. So here it is. Ready? A faith that fizzles before the finish has a flaw from the first. Well, y'all think about that now. I'm going to read that again. A faith that fizzles before the finish has a flaw from the first. Wow. The Bible teaches that Jesus keeps those who truly belong to Him. When I got to studying in this thing, I got to preaching to Lynn, I got her saved 7 times before this morning. Right? It's got all up in me, I'm telling you. Lynn's saved. She got saved before me, I think. The Bible teaches that Jesus keeps those who truly belong to Him. Listen closely to this right here, please. It's the will of God that you and I are kept safe by Jesus until we get home. I'm going to read that again. It is the will of God that you and I, as believers, are kept safe by Jesus until we get home. You rest in that. You rest in that. Here's the scripture. John chapter 6, verse 39. John chapter 6, verse 39. Jesus says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing." That's a no one. "Should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but will raise them up at the last day." Isn't that beautiful? That is beautiful to me. You see, guys, I was lost in the wilderness, just like you. I picture this sometimes in my imaginations, like in Alaska or in Montana, in a true wilderness. I'm lost. Big creeks and ravines and riverbeds and wild animals and Bigfoot and everything. I'm lost in the wilderness. And Jesus found me. He found me. I was lost. And He found me. And He saved me. And He provided for my needs. Way out in the back country of Montana somewhere. And He gave me a compass. He deposited a compass within me. A guide and a comforter. They could give me direction and counsel and tell me where to go, where not to go. Don't drink out of this riverbed because there's a dead cow 50 yards upstream. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? He gave me a compass. The Holy Spirit of God. He gave me a survival book. He said, "Read, study this. This is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. Follow this and it'll bring you success." He says, "I'm coming back to get you. You just hang on. I'm coming back. I'm going to keep you safe. I may stumble on the rocks and bust my knee. I may get a bad tooth. Old mountain lion might try to chase me. But you know what? Even if he eats me, I'm safe because Jesus said He would keep me." Right? Philippians 1:6. "And I am sure of this. I am sure of this. That He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Amen? If Jesus is your hero, you will live a Christian life with faith and hope and love and confidence in Him. And assurance that He will keep you. And yes, we'll have trials and tribulations, but He sees us through them. If Jesus is not your number one hero, you need to seriously consider Haggai 1:7. Haggai 1:7 says, "Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways." Jesus is much, much greater hero than Moses. Amen? To make Jesus your hero, three things. We must focus on Jesus. Trust in Jesus and what He's already done for you. And then hold on to Him. Hold on to Jesus. That means just keep coming back. Keep studying your word, right? Keep coming to church. Keep praising and worshiping Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning. I thank You, Lord, that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son to die on a cross, raise Him from the grave, so that we can be adopted into the family of God. We can be citizens of heaven. So I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that You would put it in their heart, You would draw them into salvation, and they would, during this song of invitation, they would come down and give their life to Christ, and I'd love to pray with them. And if there's one here who'd like to join our church, this would be a great time. Lord, if there's one that would like to get baptized, that would be awesome, Lord. Just have them come down and talk to me. Lord, we just pray for everyone and their needs. We love You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.